What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today. Welcome into the Financial Freedom Roundtable, where each week we break down complex financial topics so that you can more easily understand them and, more importantly, take action to becoming financially free. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Grateful to have you in the room. I'm Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, but the good news is I'm not here by myself. I'm surrounded by the greatest financial minds in the industry. To my left, I have the retiree of the group, Mr. Catch Me If You Can. When he's not killing bears with his bare hands or spear diving for tuna, he's dropping gold nuggets here. The one and only Mark Haraguchi. Welcome, Mark.
Good afternoon, Joey. It's a pleasure to be here for another podcast.
Always love having you, my friend. And today, we're talking about your love language, passive income, how we built it. What do you think is so important about today's topic that everybody should know?
It's always a good topic. This is always a great time to talk about it, because if you have a single point failure system, you are destined to fail, because that is designed to break. So you need to have backups. You got to have redundancies, right? I used to fly airplanes. You always have multiple systems in case one fails. And so if your only system is a W-2, what happens if everything pulls back and that spigot gets turned off? Do you have a relief valve? Do you have a safety net? Do you have passive income to help carry you until you can get things restored, or maybe have that thing carry you all the way to the finish line? So I think that's why this is a great topic.
Oh, no doubt. And having something to back up, having multiple streams of income never hurt anybody, right? Now, you and I are not alone in the room. To your right, we've brought in the king of Behem, Mr. Real Estate himself. He's agnostic to its type as long as it produces cash flow, the multi-talented Mr. Jamie O'Brien. Good to see you, Jamie.
Man, good to be here, Joey. Enjoying a nice, beautiful rainy day in Birmingham, Alabama. Couldn't be any better. Glad to be here with you guys.
Well, I know that you are all about that passive income. You're helping people to get there every single day. Why is it important for us to be talking about how you and I built it, how we as a group have built it?
You mentioned I talked to a lot of people about this topic. How do I go build passive income, or the idea of building passive income for financial freedom? And the question seems to always be how, you know? So I think it's a great kind of going to be a great podcast of how we started, kind of how, what maybe some actual steps that may or may not be the actual passive income stream. I think you're going to get some ideas here on the podcast, but maybe just some little nuggets of how to take those first action steps, how to kind of get that next level of education, how to maybe, you know, get out of your own way to actually start the process. So that's what I'm excited about today, is you're going to get some ideas, but you're also going to get some action steps of how to just take that next step forward.
No doubt. No doubt. In fact, today, you want to listen in closely. We're going to talk about the why. What was it about Mark that made him wake up one day and say, you know what, passive income is super important? Or Jamie or myself, what's the why behind we starting that process? The how, like what are the specific ways that we've built passive income, and what's on the horizon? As we've already built this, you would think, okay, well, what's next for you? If those things are important and they will help you get down your path to financial freedom, let's belly up to the table and get started right now.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
All right, gentlemen. Welcome back to the roundtable, and so excited to talk about how we built it. The 100K in passive income that basically you can do on your own. And I just want to basically share this from each of our perspectives. Now, big key to this is we're going to talk about the why, the how, and the what's next. And to get us started is something happened along the way in your career, in your personal life, in some way, shape, or form that told you, man, passive income, there's a reason that I need to get started on this. Mark, what was it for you that kind of kicked this whole journey off and made this a big enough reason to get started?
Joey, how many times have you stayed in a hotel?
Oh, countless times.
Have you ever stayed in a hotel so often that you know where you are based on the decor?
Cannot say that I've done that, no.
That's when you know it's time to change. When you wake up in the middle of the night and you're not sure where you are, but when you look at the decor, I said, I'm in San Diego because I recognize that couch over there. That's when I knew, hey, something's going on here. I'm spending all this time on the road. I'm not sleeping at home. I'm doing time zones. I'm doing airport food, hotel food, airline food. Quality of life wasn't where I felt it should be. And so doing all that schlepping all over the country, even though flying airplanes was my dream job, it was a tremendous amount of fun. I had a great time doing it. But that wasn't how I wanted to live. I didn't want to live out of a suitcase. And I recognized that for me, this isn't the destination. I wasn't going to wake up on my deathbed and think about all the tens of thousands of people I safely got to destination. I'm pretty sure there wasn't going to be a ticker tape parade for me. And so I had that moment. I realized, you know, what do I actually want? Why am I doing the things I'm doing? Why would I want something better? Well, I wanted to look back and know that I'd actually contributed. And the way that I could do that was not necessarily from the cockpit. And so that's where the idea of I've got to have another system so that I can start to spend my time in the places I want with the people I want and doing things that I want. And so that was my why. That's what drove me.
And was it clear immediately that passive income was the answer to that? Or was it just like this realization, I don't want this anymore and I've got to find an alternative? When did passive income become like that driver?
Well, it sounded amazing. I mean, pilots are some of the laziest people I know. And that's exactly why I became one. I mean, really, I only have to work, you know, a handful of minutes out of a flight. This is amazing. Passive income, it sounds like I don't have to do a tremendous amount of work. And so figuring out, hey, there's got to be a way for me to work or have things be working for me, even if I want to be at the beach, even if I want to be spending time taking vacations or snowboarding or trying to find a bear that I can wrangle with my bare hands and survive. So that was what drove me down that road.
I love that. All right. So, Jamie, what about for you? Like, do you remember what it was that kind of triggered this idea? One, I need passive income and I want financial freedom. Like, what was it for you?
Yeah. So I remember it clear as day. So my wife and I had been trying to have children for a while. And by the way, I was in the medical device space 14 years prior to being on this side. So had a stable career, saw like the track up the corporate ladder, if you will. But we finally got the good news that we were pregnant and we go in for the ultrasound and there are twins in there. And so like that changed everything for me, and just some switch flipped in my head that like I needed to do something bigger than just my career, right? We made a decision. My wife was going to be staying home with the girls, going from a double income to single income. Some of it was about like, okay, how do I just start to replace her income or try and build some second, you know, a second stream of income, kind of Mark's point, like not just relying on one source of income. But quickly through kind of my self-education process, this idea of financial freedom just kept coming around. And I was like, man, one of my goals as a father or potential to be soon to be father was I wanted to be very present with my children. And what I realized very quickly was in my W-2 job, my medical device sales job, I was covering 4 states, right? I was going to be traveling every other week, every third week. I was going to be spending a lot of time away from them. I didn't want that, right? I wanted to be able to spend time with my family, with my young girls, and be a part of their life when they were young. And so that really was the catalyst that just drove me full steam ahead to start start down the real estate path, you know, starting to look at building a real estate portfolio, quickly realized that could be capital intensive. So got into flipping houses. We'll get more details of exactly how I did it. But the why really was being present for my family and having options, right? If I wanted to walk away from a job that was taking me away from my family more than I wanted to, I wanted those options.
So I love this. So Mark is sharing more around the idea of just kind of an overall kind of like regret of like in the future, looking back, will I regret not having this time? And that was kind of the kicker. For you, it was a life event, right? That, man, how am I going to provide for these babies so quickly? And it wasn't expecting there to be two. My wife needs to stay home. Like there's a lot happening at one time. Was it clear at that point for you, Jamie, that it was the passive income side, or was it just, I just need more income, period? Like, which one was it for you immediately? And then when do you remember if there was a switch?
I think the panic side, like the initial panic was, I have to bring in more income. Like, I don't know what this is going to look like financially. But quickly through, again, like I just dove in head first. It started kind of like a lot of real estate investors, read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, found bigger pockets. We'll get into all those details. But quickly that mindset changed to there's more than just bringing in more income. What if I could actually build this passive income? Then I don't really have to worry about bringing in more income, right? I am bringing in more income, but I'm doing it with less work, right? Freeing up that time that I wanted to be available for the family. So it was a very quick switch. I'd be lying if I said the initial like panic was like, I just need to get more income in this household. But it quickly turned to how do I bring in more income, but also make it more passive and long-term wealth generation.
I love that. So for me, I'll just quickly share that I'm a slow learner. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't have a lot of exposure to people with means growing up. I didn't have a financial education except for what I had been told to do, right? Go to school, get a good job, and get, you know, paid every month, put money in 401k, whatever the case may be, right? And I started to realize, though, like investing in things that I don't understand just doesn't feel right. And maybe you're with me right now, like you're driving in the car or you're on the treadmill right now and you're like, yeah, I know there's something not quite right about where I'm putting money, but everyone around me seems to be okay with it. And so maybe something's wrong with me, but I just didn't feel like I was in control of anything. And for the longest time, I was okay with that because I honestly believed that I wasn't supposed to, right? That I was just to give my money to someone else who is a better steward of that money or a better like investor of that money. And what I quickly learned through events like 2008, and even before that, there was losses in my IRA, losses in my 401k. There was gains in those things. And I didn't understand either side of it, right? Whether it was going up or going down. And it wasn't until I started to look into starting to save for my daughter's college that I was like, okay, what can I save for their college? And it was a market-based 529. And it was kind of like at that moment, I was like, wait a minute. I don't understand how it's affecting my 401k, but that's a really long-term thing. But, you know, same for college, it's like real savings I need to make sure are there for this purpose of this college education. And it could actually lose value. I'm just not okay with that. And literally at that moment, I get introduced to infinite banking. And again, I didn't understand investing at all. I didn't understand passive income, but I knew infinite banking was the first step for me because at least I was going to be gaining more than in my savings account, but not giving up losses to the market. And I could start saving for their college. And then my brain started expanding to other things. After that, once you start to put capital in a place that you own and control, it starts to accumulate and you start to say, wait a minute, if I don't use this for some other investment, I'm really missing out because I get a 2-for-1 deal here. I don't know about you guys. I'm one of those like BOGO guys, like, hey, I see a bug, I'm buying two of whatever it is, even though I don't only need one.
Right? You have to. You have to.
I mean, come on. But you're sitting there, your policy, your system is growing, whether you use it or not. So I might as well use it to do something great. And man, that's when the light bulb started going off and saying, wait a minute, there's a lot of cool things I could be doing today to create cash flow. And what about my time? How can I get more of that back? So the why for me, I'm just slower than you guys. So you got to, you know, bear with me here. Now, everybody wants to know, once you get that mindset right, how did you then take the first step into passive income? And maybe just some of the details behind that, because we want to share some ways that other people maybe can learn. Jamie, why don't we start with you this time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the how really started with education, self-education, right? I went down the do-it-yourself road. I thought I was smart enough to go read books, find BiggerPockets, go down the thousands of podcasts. I was just consuming education, just consuming content. And what I quickly learned, at least about myself, was that was extremely overwhelming to me, right? I didn't quite know which route to go. And I doubted myself on, hey, what if I do make a bad decision and I lose some of this capital that I've stored up to go make these investments? So it really wasn't until I connected myself with mentors and coaches and kind of networked with people who were already doing what I wanted to be doing that I really actually started taking massive action and seeking results. And so my first steps into really passive income was, again, my personality, I'm an ID. I tend to like shiny objects and I want to go really fast. And I just had capital burning a hole in my pocket. I actually went down to the courthouse and bought some tax liens here in Birmingham. Not something that I've continued to do, but that was my very first entry, fairly low level of entry. They offered decent returns. At that point in time, you could get 12% annualized on your money if they came back and redeemed on the taxes. And so put some money to work there. But quickly after that, got connected with a mentor in the realtor in the real estate space and started looking for rental properties. So went down that road, bought a few rental properties, and quickly learned that rental properties can be capital intensive. So then shiny object syndrome kicked in again. And I was like, hey, let me go flip some houses to build more capital to buy more rental properties. And that was kind of the first entry level of how I got started. Since then, and again, just through networking and connections with groups like Wealth Without Wall Street, got into private lending. I've done some of that. I joined, actually, I'm a member of a real estate focused mastermind. Have been able to get into some small partnerships and small apartment partnerships with members of that group. And so just continue to expand in the real estate space. Private lending, I still connect that to real estate. And then I've looked at a few syndications for kind of more really, really, really passive stuff. But really my how was getting around people who understood and were further along than I was in that journey. For me, that avoiding pitfalls and the affirmation that how I was thinking through a deal or looking at an opportunity made sense. And if I was missing something, somebody could bring that to my attention. I credit 100% those mentors and coaches and mastermind groups that I was a part of for my success and getting to where I am today. Without that, I'm sure I would have fallen on my face flat multiple times because I would just miss something. So
Now, is there any one thing out of all the things you've done that you feel like, man, this was the best idea that I've done and I want to do more of it? Or is it all kind of been just stacking on top of itself in your mind?
Man, I feel like it really just all stacks. I really love the real estate world. Real estate, there's so many options just within real estate. And to get creative and to expand or to contract or to find a different strategy. And what I mean by that is I'm still going to continue to build single family rental portfolios. I really love the new kind of partnerships I'm in with four or five people for small apartment complexes. Just the ability to scale at a faster rate, the ability to drive equity and to drive value in those small apartment complexes. I'll continue to always do real estate. One area that I'm always going to keep in my bucket as well is private lending, connected to or collateralized with real estate. I love that space. I just feel like that's a really solid way to help flippers, help other people, improve communities, help the home buyer or the new renter, and also make a great return, right? With my money being fairly secure to a property. Now there's some nuances and details you need to be aware of if you're going to go into that space. but I will always be in the real estate space. I'll do some things outside of real estate, but real estate is probably going to continue to be my core focus.
Ah, love it. Mark, how about for you? What's been the how on how you built your passive income?
To echo Jamie's point, it really does start with education. I saw a really cool reel today, and it was this Florida basketball coach. And he was talking about how 95% of your time as a basketball player is conducted without a basketball. Running down the court, transition, defensive screens, offensive screens, you know, setting up pick and posts, all this stuff. He said, but nobody wants to focus on the 95%. They only want to focus on the 5% of the time that they spend with the ball. So he said, if you're spending your time focused on that 5%, you're missing out on the vast majority of what you need to actually be successful or to be a part of a successful team. So for me, it really did come down to education. And education is like Jamie said, it's the not so sexy part about investing. Oh, great. I'm going to go read some books. Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah, I'm going to sit around and listen to books on Audible. I'm going to go watch webinars. I'm going to do spreadsheets. I'm going to create spreadsheets. I mean, it just sounds amazing, like super awesome. That's always the number one lead for every single get rich quick scheme I've ever seen, which is you're going to spend 95% of your time just doing boring work. Said nobody ever. So if you're willing to put in that time, how? By putting in that time, I got down into the weeds, I got nitty gritty, and really that education reminded me, I need to get away from people who say you can't and get around people who say, how can? How can you do that? How can you accomplish that? Because it was being around those people that reminded me, you know, I grew up in Hawaii. It's a small little rock in the middle of the Pacific. It is quite possibly one of the most remote locations for air travel there is. But I was only looking in my backyard because that was all I knew. That was all I was comfortable about. I was trying to find ways to build real estate in the state of Hawaii, which is incredibly expensive. But one friend led to another friend who said, have you thought about looking outside of the state of Hawaii? And that mental shift, not of a, yeah, you can't do this, but a, hey, have you thought about how you can look at this thing, how you can do this? So education, exposure, knowing what else is out there, and then really opportunity. Joey, to your point about infinite banking, when you understand how money moves, when you understand how money flows, and you put yourself in a position to have that money work in your favor, you're now in a position of cash. I'll give you a great anecdote. I learned the true cost of cash. So I was talking to my neighbor. He likes real estate. He was buying a property. And he said, hey, I got my down payment, but the appraisal came in short. I said, all right, so what does that mean for you? He goes, that means I got to come up with like another 10 or 20 grand to make the down payment so I can get the equity ratios right. I'm like, okay, does it still pencil out? Yeah. Will it still make money? Yeah. Did you account for that extra 10 or 20 grand? Well, what do you mean? How much is it costing you to put that extra 10 or 20 grand in? Well, it's cash. I already have it. I go, that's not what I asked you. Mm. How much is it costing you? And then I shared with him, every loan I do, I look at it through the lens of borrowing against my own personal cash flow system. I know exactly how much my money costs, and therefore I can look at every deal and realize, is this actually making me money, or am I subsidizing the deal by giving up? And so that is really my how. Once I, that mental shift, that understanding and looking at deals in a different fashion, it's become so much clearer to move past certain deals, go, no, no, no. Oh, the metrics actually line up. Let's take a deeper dive. Let's spend the 95% of the time so we can get the 5% victory glory.
If you've listened to our show for any length of time, you've heard us talk about infinite banking and how we are able to use that concept to create over $50,000 a month in passive income. But it's just not that easy to figure out, how does this all connect into my own personal system?
Stallion, that's why we created the Passive Income Operating System, bro. It shows you how to turn active income into passive income. It makes all the steps come together. If you would like to get access to it as a podcast listener, we've never given this away in public before, go to wealthwhatwallstreet.com/POS. There was nothing worse than walking into class when you're in school and the teacher saying, pop quiz day. Why? Because you were unprepared. Are you unprepared though for financial freedom?
Don't be. Find out how close you are by taking our 30-second quiz at wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/quiz. When I first started into this investing game, it was on accident. I had been living in a condo that my wife and I bought, and it was our first home. And I had grand pictures of this place. Like, man, I'm going to be able to at least have one kid here. And, you know, it's a two-bedroom. So, of course, do you realize after we started, like, going to our first baby showers, the room was so full, there was no room for a baby. I was like, this isn't going to work. Like, we need to move now, like, getting prepared for a new baby. And so this was in 2004, and the market was going okay, but we had really overbought, which is another, you know, great move for me. And so it was not really a great rental. In fact, it was barely breaking even to potentially losing money every month. But we moved out anyway, and that became my first rental house, right? So that wasn't very successful. The second thing, though, I got into private lending. And I will say that was a big win for me because, one, my investor DNA, I'm an S, which I love the security of lending, that you have collateral, that it's time-tested, it's proven. And, man, it's just all around, very passive, hands-off. You know, you have to underwrite the deal to begin with. You have to set it up, but then it's set it and forget it kind of thing. And from there, I got involved in crypto mining, which to me was like having a rental property without tenants. I was like, this is amazing. I don't have to do anything. I bought a machine. It's like a dollar machine. Like, you plug in the dollar machine. It costs you 50 cents to create a dollar. How many times would you want to do that? Like, just over and over and over again, right? And until it cost you 50 cents to create a quarter, it went backwards on me. But that was just because, you know, the variables were not something I could control. It ended up being fine long term because it was worth more than it cost to operate for longer than it wasn't. But then from there, I got involved in a drop shipping company, as you have well known, 100 Unicorns. That was a big mistake. I did not invest according to my investor DNA and my resources of time. And so I ended up just putting money into it over and over every month, trying to buy ads that I didn't understand, spending time I didn't have. And that was just, you know, a zone of regret, as people say. But I will tell you this, getting started made all the difference. That's what I want to challenge you with, is we're talking about these things, and I'm sharing probably more failures than these other guys. But the point is, getting started made all the difference. And some of you right now are stuck on go, and you're the same place you were 6 months ago. And I'm willing to bet right now, if you had a coach walk you through what your investor DNA is, if you had a coach help you outline for you what your vision is, if you had a coach to help you set up your cash flow system where it is super efficient and the dollars were flowing into your control, not out of your control, you would be well on your way to creating passive income. But until you get that coach, Jamie mentioned it, and I will mention this. When Russ and I started investing together, it made a massive difference. And you've heard our show since 2020. We have been off to the races in building passive income. And I believe it's because we had each other. We could bounce ideas off of. We could confirm things. We could do due diligence together. Those are things that have made all the difference. So if you need that coach, I want to challenge you to go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/free call and talk this out. See if this is the right fit for you. It may not be, but get help somewhere, right? Get a coach, get a mentor, get someone to help you get started, because that will make all the difference. Okay, gentlemen, we've covered the why all of us even got into this idea of passive income. We've talked about the how, each of our ups and downs and all arounds. Let's talk about, if you're 10 feet ahead of the next guy, I want to know what's on your mind. What are you seeing down the road that you're excited about? Because that will help me expand my mind and to see what's possible. All right. So, Mark, I'm going to let you finish us out here before we jump to Jamie. What is next for you?
What I've started transitioning into is really looking deeper into the things I'm investing in. There's a lot of things that happen in the world. There's a lot of causes and things that we all maybe like, maybe things that we're not particularly fond of, or maybe things that we do or don't align with. And so what I'm now starting to do, and I shared it with my wife and she's on board, is we're looking at not just what is the investment opportunity, not just who is the operator, not just what is the ROI, but what is the WROI? What is the worldly return on investment? How does this thing actually impact the world that we live in? And are we funding something that, even though it may put a ton of money in our pocket, is it really aligning with where we want things to be growing and things to be fostered? So Stephen Libman had a phenomenal presentation at our Passive Income Mastermind in Dallas this couple of weeks ago. If you're not a member of our Passive Income Mastermind or even our Inner Circle Plus, hey, you might want to seriously consider. Like we talked about, let's get around some people that can help push some ideas. He had a really thought-provoking presentation, which is his whole company is circled around investing with purpose. What are they doing in their investments? They're not just making money. How do they make their community that they invest in stronger, better, more adjusted, and built for longer longevity and profitability, not just for the community, but then that translates to the business itself. Because if the community does well, the business does well. So how do we create those symbiotic relationships and those symbiotic investments? Because we like to tithe. We give a portion of what we are given through our investments. We give that back to causes and functions that we believe are appropriate. But would we be okay taking maybe a smaller return on investment, which means we have less to give, but what if the overall investment itself is giving so much more? Aren't we getting twice as much? Isn't that the whole point of infinite banking? How can I get my money to work in multiple places? So that's what we're really geared towards and focused on, is starting to redirect in that area. And we're blessed that we're able to, for lack of a better word, discriminate that way and start looking for those things that better align. And so we're super excited for what that means for us and what that means for the community at large.
I love that. That is super inspiring. And I'm kind of echoing the same ideas that, man, you have the skill set to invest and to put deals together. Why not put the deals together that also have impact beyond just ROI? Like you said, I love that. Jamie, how about you? What's on the horizon? What do you see that others may not see right now?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, if I look back before I look forward, biggest thing I see on my journey here was my mind, or my capacity of scale in my mind was the limitation of what I accomplished, right? My mind was my limiting beliefs were the limit to what I accomplished. And so really have been on a mission. It's grown every year through my process of just expanding my mind, right? And so that's something I've really been focusing on, is being around people who are doing bigger and bigger and bigger things to expand my mind bigger and bigger and bigger to what's possible. And to Mark's point, bigger and bigger and bigger doesn't necessarily mean that I make more and more and more money. It's not all about me making money and making more passive income, although that's great. For me, it's really more of, how can I expand my mind to a point to bring others with me? Right. And one of the things that I have noticed is the closer I get to financial freedom, the more I want to pull all of my close friends and family with me. Right. I just want them to have that same experience of controlling their finances, of controlling their destiny, and not having the fear of what if my W-2 goes away tomorrow. And so, very kind of broad definition of what I see being next, but I really have enjoyed getting into kind of smaller partnerships for these small apartment complexes, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, being able to kind of spread out that egg of capital needed to buy an investment, but maybe be able to get people in who couldn't do it on their own or get into deals none of us could get into on our own, to be able to just grow bigger and scale bigger. You know, who knows? I mean, I see opportunities to potentially bring opportunity to people. Obviously, I'm not a licensed securities person or anything like that, but maybe just presenting ideas, just trying to bring people that are close to me and special to me along on this journey to make a difference, you know, a different way. Mark, that was a great point of now we're going to invest things and make the world better. I want to make my little network better. I want to make my community better, kind of really close and bring those people along with me through this journey as well.
So good. Yeah. And the common thing that I'm hearing is, man, you've accomplished a lot. You've created passive income. You've almost in a sense, you've kind of gotten this freedom down personally. And what happens from there is abundance. The ability to think bigger than yourself. The ability to say, who else can I bring along with me? That's why you guys are amazing coaches, number one. But number two, amazing people who want to impact the world. I'm going to add to this and say I'm a little bit further down the line than you guys are with kids. And so I'm looking down the road and thinking, I want more passive income to free up my time on anything active, because I'm starting to see, man, within the next 5-6 years, I may be looking at having son-in-laws. I want to be freed up to be a resource that I never had, right? Someone who can say, yeah, let me come alongside you and help you start a business. Let me help you with what I've been given and maybe give you some seed money, maybe give you some experience, some ideas on how to build a land flipping business, how to do an e-commerce business, whatever the case may be. And I want that for the generations to come. And so I see that as like a primary focus of why I'm investing today. A couple other things that are on my mind is again, it's so funny how we're thinking very similarly. There's actually a church for sale that I'm looking at right now. And how could I possibly invest in that in such a way that creates a profit, but also creates a whole new community of people that might be served by the church that is on that property. Like there's a development component to it. Super interesting. The other thought I had is like, man, maybe there's some retail centers that are coming for sale that, you know, there's some baby boomers that are trying to move out of that space and they want to owner finance. Well, I love owner financing. And I think that's an up and coming thing is retail centers are growing. But the second part of that, like I've just been dreaming about, it's like, what if there was business mentors that I'm connected with here in Birmingham that are believers that want to impact other business owners? And what if I could connect them through an investment and say, hey, when you're a tenant in my retail, you know, strip center, I'm going to give you a business mentor who's going to invest in your life and disciple you and like speak into your marriage, speak into your parenting, if you have them. Like it's obviously optional, but to provide that to make their businesses thrive and also to share the gospel, like and to be in a position to do that and provide that sort of service. It's just one of those thoughts I haven't fleshed out fully, but definitely on the mind of taking passive income and making it purposeful. So, man, I know that there's a lot more that we all could talk about, but gentlemen, I just have to thank you for being willing to come on, share your why, share your how, and what's next for you. Any parting thoughts from you, Mark?
Make today day one, not one day.
Love that.
Jamie? I'm listening to a book called Psycho-Cybernetics right now, and I'm very early in it, so just a couple chapters in. But here's what I gathered so far is it takes 21 days to change a habit, including the habit of how we think about ourselves and how we think about what's possible in our life. To Mark's point, make today day one. Take that first action step, whatever that is, whether that's self-development, whether that's do it yourself, or whether that's reaching out, having a call with one of us to figure out what to do. Just take the step, because you don't want to sit back and be 5 years down the road saying, I wish I would have, right? So just encouragement that it is possible, and a lot of us not taking action is right up here in our head.
Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast. If you found value, do us a favor. Take a screenshot, share it on social, tag Russ or I or Wealth.Wall Street, so we know what sort of things are helping you on your path to financial freedom. As always, we appreciate you. Have an amazing day.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.